This is Defeat the Boss, episode 21 for March 19th, 2015.
I need a weapon.
It's in the game.
Let's do it.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of gum.
Welcome to Defeat the Boss, a weekly gaming podcast. I'm Michael and I'm joined as always by my equally bearded co-host, Brody.
And always, if you can tweet at Defeat the Boss and guess whether or not I'm wearing pants, Michael will send you 100 of his own dollars.
Yes. Is it if they guess correctly that I send them $100?
Look, I say either or, not my money.
I'd rather if it was just because if they were correct, because then that way I could just always say they were wrong at least. And I'll need to have two photos of you, one photo of you with your pants on and one with your pants off, and I'll just send them whichever the alternate answer is.
Michael, if you send me $100, I'll send you as many photos with my pants off as you want.
I've really missed you, Brody, over the last 2 weeks where we have not been podcasting.
Yeah, it's been a banterless 2 weeks.
It sure has. Tell me, you've got a new job while I've been gone.
True.
It looks like you possibly got a haircut.
I did at some stage in my life.
Yep. What else has changed? I don't know how I'm dealing with this all. There's so much has happened.
Oh, let's see. What else has happened?
You've played video games, which is just...
I did. I had 2 weeks of being a bum in between jobs, which was great because I got some gaming in.
Excellent.
And then I felt like too much of a bum at the end of the two-week period, so I had a wine and cheese night at my place and classed it up a bit.
Very nice. very nice. I like that it was wine and cheese at your current abode. Was it a big affair? Yes. Quite a soiree?
Yeah, there was about 8 or 9 of us here, not including the housemates, so excellent. That was fun. Yeah.
Very nice. What is your favourite drop of wine, Brody?
Well, look, it's only because I've been to Argentina and I fell in love with it, but Malbec Red is my go-to nowadays, and it's a little bit harder to find in Australia, but
it's becoming more popular, I've found.
Is it?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. I've gone out a couple of times recently and seen it. Actually, when I was at a winery in New Zealand when we were there last week, the name drop for me being in New Zealand last week, I went to a random winery and they had Malbec, yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, it's the, like, if I can see it on the shelf and it's like, you know, under $20, I'll probably grab a bottle because it's usually a winner.
Yeah, excellent.
How was your trip, speaking of, to NZ?
Yes, I went back to the motherland. It was actually, and I can say this with all honesty, I had a really, really good time. I don't, normally going to New Zealand is like going to your mum's place, because that's literally what it is when I go to New Zealand. I'm just going around to my mum's, except it costs about $600. Yeah, so it's normally it's just like, yeah, I'm just hanging out at home. It's nothing special. But this time we went and we went for a drive up north to beautiful Northland, Bay of Islands, swam with dolphins, went up to the top of the country, boogie boarded on sand dunes. It was fucking wild. I loved it. I had a great time.
Sounds like you've done it all.
I really have. I've done it all so far as Northland goes.
Awesome. Is Northland where all the good mountain biking and whatnot is?
I feel like you could get good mountain biking anywhere in New Zealand because it's all very hilly.
Fair enough. Yeah, I heard there was one part in particular in New Zealand where it's really, really good for downhill mountain biking. But yeah, you're right. It probably applies to most of New Zealand.
Yeah, I don't know where that would be specifically. I never noticed anything. Not that I'm a mountain biker, but yeah, there's nothing that stuck out to me as like, oh, this place, there's a lot of mountain biking here. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Anyway, dune buggying sounds pretty awesome. So. Yeah,
it was really cool. So if you ever get the chance, Brody, I highly recommend it. Hire yourself a nice 2013 Corolla like I did and drive up north.
All right, done. Very specific.
I really liked that car. I had a great time with it.
Excellent. Okay. Duly noted.
But while I was away, I also did some of this.
Come on.
Let's talk about
games.
Baby, let's talk about
Mario.
Luigi.
I played some games, but I actually am more interested in hearing about the games that you played to start with.
Just before I talk about those, aren't you meant to get away from electronic devices traditionally when you're on holidays in a beautiful outdoorsy place like New Zealand?
Look, I downloaded some stuff for my tablet because, you know, like there's downtime in the airport, on the plane, because I had those tickets where you don't have the, you know, entertainment shit.
I'm just pulling your chain. I did the exact same thing overseas.
You went to a much more exotic location than me and were watching movies on your iPad.
I sure did. I streamed many seasons of Sons of Anarchy on a bus. But anyway,
How did you have internet for streaming?
Well, I could just say magic, but I have a wireless hard drive that I loaded up with a shit ton of stuff before I left, and that wireless hard drive broadcasts a Wi-Fi signal, which I then connect my iPad up to and use a certain app which plays streamed media to watch whatever I want off that hard drive. So
that's very clever. What's the battery life on that external hard drive like?
Continuous use,
yeah,
probably about 3.5-4 hours.
You can't keep rocking it forever and ever, but for a bus drive it's probably not bad.
It look, on either side of an overnight trip, you know, with a little bit of sleep in the middle, it keeps you sane.
Absolutely.
Games. Went and played some games this week.
Yes, tell me about the said games.
Well, I got a surprise inventory item in my Steam account.
Yes.
And it was a voucher to download the DLC for Surgeon Simulator Anniversary Edition. So,
okay. Did you have the original?
I did. So that's why I got the voucher. That brought, I think, a $3 purchase down to a $1 purchase. So wow. I got on that. And not at all disappointed. It brought back all the good memories of being really, really frustrated and eventually bashing my patient to death with a hammer.
Yep.
But just in new exciting situations, like a hospital hallway where the patient is continuously being gurneyed down the hallway, smashing through doors while the surgery's taking place, and carts with all your surgical implements are like floating around on, different little carts that keep disappearing when you're trying to grab something off them. So,
excellent.
That's a bit of fun. And what was the other level? They added a new one as well, another one. It was in it's not the ambulance because we've done the ambulance. It was something else.
An elevator?
No.
A roller coaster? An airplane.
Something else really inconvenient to perform surgery in. But, yeah. Oh, well, look, they added two more surgery types too, which is the other exciting thing.
Types.
They added eye surgery.
Oh, yeah.
And teeth surgery.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Teeth replacement surgery.
I don't imagine that those two are as in-depth as, like, the open heart surgery, which is, I think, the common one. Isn't that the one that you always do, or something different?
The heart one is the first level, So they've changed it a bit in this one where you've actually got to complete, like, you've got to complete each level before in each type of surgery before you can go to the next level and complete that same sort of surgery in the harder level. So so you go kidney surgery, eye surgery, and then teeth surgery. Oh, and there's brain surgery in there somewhere. I forget which one.
Yes, I remember the brain surgery as well. Yeah. So tooth surgery, which I'm assuming you could call dentistry, is that like literally pulling teeth out?
Oh yeah, of course. You start off with him wearing like a mask over his mouth, of which you can't just remove. You've got to cut off with scalpels. often causing a little bit of blood flow in the process.
Yeah.
You can use the drill, as in like the hardware drill to take out his teeth. That's really, really hard. So I recommend using the hammer.
It no doesn't pliers.
Just take out it doesn't just take out the dead decaying teeth. It also takes out plenty of the healthy ones. But that's cool because you've got plenty of replacement teeth that you can just fit in later. So yeah, it took me a long time to work out how you pick up the replacement teeth, because you know you've got these sausage fingers that don't
tend be quite to be small. Very good.
Yeah, especially for picking up small things with teeth. Yeah, no, you've got to pick up the tweezers and then position the tweezers over the teeth to pick them up.
Right.
So, there you go.
Holy shit, that sounds like that game makes me grind my teeth. I'm just like, come on.
I actually love it. I seriously wish more games had this like awkward, horrible hand interface to pick things up with. Like
the retarded digits sort of fucking control system.
Just great. The eye surgery too is quite fun. Once again, I tried, tune out, dear listener, if you don't want the spoiler of how to complete eye surgery in Surgeon Simulator, because I decided not to look up how to perform the successful surgery. So I spent many attempts just like slashing at a guy's face without moving his eyes. Until I worked out that successful eye surgery is performed by getting a bit of a wind up and then sort of jamming a scalpel into the eyeball and then like it just sort of like floating around like sticking out of his eyeball, then you got to
jimmy it out a little bit,
just like, you know, stabbed in there, and it's sort of like as his eyes move around it's kind of like going with the direction of the eye. So then you've got to grab the scalpel, pull on the scalpel, dislodging the eye, at which point if you give him a little bit of a slap around the head, his eyeball will sort of fall out, and then you can sever all the tendons and replace it with your choice of either a replacement eye or an eight ball or a money sign eye, whatever you want, really.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So super good. And there's a secret bonus alien dissection level that I haven't quite worked out yet. So
have you gotten unlocked that though?
I have unlocked it, and yes, I did use a cheat for that one because you've got to enter in all these digits into a keypad that I just didn't understand where their relevance was. So anyway, I just cheated and looked that one up. But yeah, I haven't looked up how to actually perform the surgery yet, which is super hard because there's a bunch of organs that aren't actually organs that are known to humans, and I'm not even sure which one I'm meant to be performing surgery on. So
I don't think it matters when it's an alien.
All I know is I found a cube-like organ inside him and dislodged it, which caused an electric discharge that reversed all the controls of my mouse for his hand. So that made it quite a bit more difficult. Good game.
Good game. Man.
Definitely recommend it. If anyone hasn't checked out Surgeon Simulator, it's probably worth it. And if you do have it, it's like $1 to download the new content. So,
And is the browser based one you can still play? I'm sure as well, can't you?
I didn't know there was a browser based one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is still a browser based one. Just quickly look it up. A10.com. You can go to you can find Surgeon Simulator. It's just the open heart one that you can play.
Oh, okay, right.
So if anyone wants to wet their whistle on some Surgeon Simulator for freezies, you can do that.
Yeah, look, it is horribly difficult at first, but it's funny, you do tend to start to just do it really instinctually. You understand how the mechanics of the game work, and it's actually quite fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else did I play? They had the Ubisoft sale on Steam this week, so I ended up downloading the Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon mini add-on DLC.
Yeah,
it's
like a standalone DLC, I guess you could call it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I like it.
Yeah?
Look, I like it just because I liked Far Cry 3, so it's nice to have that, you know, similar mechanic brought back.
Absolutely.
In a, you know, different context, I suppose. And, you know, it's not serious. It's not a full game. It's not meant to be. It's a bit of a piss take, really, but it's great fun.
Yeah, it's got a great aesthetic. The music, man, I really love the soundtrack. I actually listen to the soundtrack by itself quite often.
the 80s, like, power electro sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's really cool. How far are you in?
I'm probably about halfway through the missions, and I've taken over most of the garrisons, they're called, in that one.
Yeah. I think once you start getting to the game proper, it starts getting quite good. But like, I really hated the way it started off, and it turned me off, and I didn't play it for a couple of months, and then I sort of went back and played it and actually enjoyed it.
It's fairly basic at the start, but once you're into it, it's quite fun. I just did one where you sort of glide into a cavern full of enemies and then take them out a bunch, and then end up in a pit with a bunch of blood dragons, and it's pretty good.
It's good fun. It's good tongue-in-cheek fun.
Yeah, the humour in it, it's quite good too. You'll appreciate it if you like sort of bad 80s, like B-grade type stuff.
What are you talking about? B-grade, A-grade movies like Escape from New York and things like that.
Exactly. I like how one of the collectibles in it is VHS tapes with various like made-up 80s movies on them.
Yeah, there's so many good little things like that as well, eh?
Yeah, it's a good cheese ball offering, and using the fantastic Far Cry 3 mechanics and open world sort of exploration. So it's good.
Has that given you an inkling to get Far Cry 4?
Well, I almost did it because, I mean, that was 40% off as well. I think it was like down from like 75 to about 40 something. So
I feel like you could get it cheaper than that. God.
That's why I didn't buy it. I'm holding off until maybe I can get it for a bit cheaper. But yeah, look, I figured this would give me a little bit of a bridge to when I am ready to purchase the new one. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I played a little bit of Payday, just like you did on my own.
Yeah.
That didn't last long. I got thrown in with a bunch of random people. I think trying to overtake a meth lab. I then found a chemical, which I thought I was just meant to like add to the chemical lab, the meth lab, and that just promptly blew it up and heavily damaged everybody's health, and I think they're all pissed off with me, so I just exited out and haven't played since.
Oh, okay, so you just did the solid troll.
Yeah, well, I just went and blew up the meth lab and left, you know. Yeah. So that's been my my experience with Payday so far. Or Payday 2, I should say.
Yeah.
What else? I have played a little bit of that Killzone 3 or whatever that you gave me as a PS3 sample disc a while back.
Yeah. Well, it's not a sample disc, I'll have you know. It's a full retail version.
Well, whatever it is. It's not the greatest game, so I don't care.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd chuck it on the list because I did play it. I played it with a friend in co-op.
Oh, you played split screen, did you?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just another, like, you know, what's that game from Xbox? The
Halo?
No, the, like, Gears of War. It just reminds me of that, yeah.
It's really not a well-designed game, I thought, Killzone 3. Like, there's lots of, like, man, there's a shitload of loading in it. Like, lots of portions where you've got to walk really slowly through things because they're obviously trying to stagger you to load in the next section.
Oh, God, and the in-game dialogue is just painfully bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, we played that for about half an hour before we realized that
it's dumb.
Our lives are short and not worth spending any more on this game.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah, but the other thing I played was, well, for your recommendation last time we did a show, which was Jackbox Party Pack.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you got this.
Oh, man, I couldn't say no. Well, I'm an old school fan of You Don't Know Jack, the trivia series, and this has that plus four other games, I believe.
Yep, that's right.
Including Fibbage, which is a straight, like, carbon copy almost of one of my favorite board games, Boulder Dash. So, there were a couple of factors there that made me say that I had to actually check this out. And I love the fact that you've got this connect with your phone controller mechanic.
Yep, yep. That's so good for a party situation.
Well, that's, so I got brought out halfway into my wine and cheese night because I'm not that classy of a guy.
What are you talking about, man? That's a classy game.
Well, I thought it was. Everyone was so skeptical when I'm like, hey, guys, do you want to play a game? And they were like, oh, here we go. He's going to bring out, like, some video game that he's going to like and none of us are going to like. All the girls were like, oh, I don't want to waste my phone battery on playing a video game. But then as soon as we started playing it, everyone was, like, that was the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Like, and the whole house was filled with, like, screams of laughter. And it was good fun. It was good, honest fun.
It is super, super good fun. And if you don't have fun playing that game, you have no soul, as far as I'm concerned.
It is true. Yep.
How many rounds did you go before someone put the word penis in?
I don't know if the word penis made it in. I think, like, well, everyone was actually trying to fool everybody else.
It becomes really, once you get the hang of it, it becomes interesting. Like, you've got to think of lies that are weird but believable at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and, like, even using, like, you know, excessive punctuation can pay off
yep.
sometimes, because some of the real answers tend to do that. So, yeah, there is a funny sort of logic to the game. It was really good, and the fact that you've got a bit of variety in there. We were changing it up between You Don't Know Jack playing doubles, because you only have max four players in that one.
Yep.
To Fibbage, which we had the perfect number for Fibbage. We had eight people, so that was a full game. And also playing the drawing one. I think it's called
Drawful.
Drawful, that's the one.
Yeah. What's that like? I never tried that one.
It's good. Like, it's pretty basic.
Yeah.
Basically, everybody gets a weird phrase sent to their phone that they have to draw as best they can, kind of like charades.
Yeah.
And then one by one, each person's drawing is displayed on the screen, in which all the other players have to then try and guess or make up what they think that could be a picture of. Then all the answers and the real phrase is displayed up on the screen, and people have to pick which one they think is the real one. So essentially, you've got a chance with a wrong answer to get points from people picking yours, similar to Fibbage. So,
cool.
Yeah, so it's cool. It's like charades, but a different take on that, really. Yep. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds interesting. And You Don't Know Jack was good, obviously, playing in doubles.
Well, You Don't Know Jack is the same You Don't Know Jack I remember from the early 2000s. They haven't really changed it much at all. I really wish they included some of my favorite segments from some of the older ones, though. Like, there was one that was a gibberish answer one. I don't know. Did you ever play any of the You Don't Know Jacks?
No, I don't think I ever played You Don't Know Jack. I played some of those music trivia games, like on PS2, but that was about it.
Right. Yeah, well, the You Don't Know Jack series, I mean, there's quite a few different, like, things that it's known for, but one of them I loved, which is like a gibberish answer one, which it gives you some gibberish, like a completely nonsensical sentence, but it's actually like a phrase or idiom that rhymes with the words that they put up there, so you've got to work, like, out what the phrase is.
Yeah, it's like Cockney English.
Yeah, oh, well, oh, not wait, even. Cockney? Yeah, yeah, no, I guess it is, but yeah. It even makes less sense than Cockney does, so yeah.
Yeah. Is that called Cockney? No, it's not that. It's the other weird one.
Cockney's the rhyming slang sort of one, yeah.
Is it Cockney? I thought Cockney was just an accent.
No, Cockney, well, the Cockney English accent is the one that includes a lot of rhyming slang, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep. All right, yep.
So you're all right. That one was included. They did include, like, the this or that, which is, like, you know, it gives you two things. For instance, there was one that was like, is this something that Elton John said or Vladimir Putin said? So, you know, things like that. It's got a unique sense of humor about it. But the only thing I would say about You Don't Know Jack 2015 is it really didn't bring anything new to the table, which it really, like, I just feel like they could have brought at least something a little bit more, like, especially the fact that everyone's using their phone as a controller. There's so much potential there to do something a little bit, like, unique with that interface.
Yeah, it's something more poignant and modern, you know, pointing at modern technology, you know, things like social media and things like that.
Well, the fact that everybody's got keyboards in their phone and could type in an answer, and they didn't have anything where you type in an answer, which they have in previous games, so...
Oh, okay, that's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's my only complaint. It doesn't really matter, like, the humour and the trivia, the warped sort of logic of the trivia questions is still there, which is kind of the MO of You Don't Know Jack's franchise. And it was all there, and I loved it. And it was a great night. Everyone just had super fun, and, yeah... It gets better the drunker you and your friends get. So
yes,
yeah.
I can absolutely attest to that.
So yeah, that was me. I had a big gaming week. So there you go.
That's good. It's good to hear that you had a good time on it, and you had some solid gaming on your days off.
Indeed.
Well, yeah, I did play some games while I was in New Zealand. I actually played Super Stickman Golf 2, which I don't know if that's one that you've played or not. It's a... I don't know if it's on Apple as well, but I played it on Android tablet.
I'm pretty sure I have played it, yeah.
Yeah, it's got like power-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, I've definitely played it a while back, but I remember it, yeah.
It's really good. It's very good. It's very easy to get into. The power-up system, they all make sense. I don't really have heaps to say about it because it's not exactly a groundbreaking sort of game. You know, it's like if you've played 2D golf, it's exactly what you expect it to be. You point it in a particular direction, there's gravity, and you power up your shot, and then you hit it.
You know what? It kind of reminds me of playing flash games in the like school like PC lab back in the day. Lots of stick games back then.
Yeah, it's pretty good though, and it's free. There are microtransactions, but I never felt compelled to actually buy anything. So yeah, it's good. It's good for a free game, absolutely. And if you ever threw money at it, you wouldn't have to feel too bad about it, I don't think. So yeah, if you're ever on a plane from New Zealand to Australia or vice versa, and you find yourself playing that game, you'll probably be well happy, I would say.
Very nice. You know, oh sorry.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Can I just had a thought. Like I've brought it up a few times. I'm horribly addicted to that app, Jetpack Joyride.
Yes.
I didn't realize there were stats in it, and I found them the other day, and they horrified me. I've played 1 day and 5 hours of that game.
Holy shit. This is a game for like a phone, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just an endless runner is all it is. There's nothing particularly good about it, but it's somehow like crack. It's crack for me.
That's insane. I might have to try that at some stage, but I don't know, 24 hours and change is... that's like a quarter of one of my Skyrim playthroughs.
It's just like there's nothing to show for it. What am I doing with my life?
Have you spent money on it?
No, I haven't. But
oh wow, that's very. I've got kudos to the developers for hooking someone without them having to pay.
Yeah, I mean you have the option to, but like that's the thing. You can get all the power ups and all the different jetpacks with just excessive playing, which you know. And I, instead of spending money, I've spent a full day of my life playing it.
Oh shit, that reminds me. Did you see that thing with Microsoft bringing out a game, or like talking up a game for like the Surface Pro that is like a direct ripoff of Crossy Roads?
Really? No.
Yeah, like a fucking blatant ripoff of Crossy Roads.
No.
Hold on, let me look it up because I think Kotaku did a story on it. Crossy Roads rip off. Let's have a look. Danger Road is what it's called.
Get out of town.
Oh, no, they've taken it off. They've taken it down. Really? Let me just see if I can find road. No, that's the game. Fine. Danger Road. This is the one. I'm sure this is the one. Oh, no, it's not the one. Christ. Danger. Nah, I can't find it. It looks like they've taken it down from their store.
I can see some screenshots of it, though.
Can you? Is it the one that I'm looking was thinking of?
It looks exactly like Crossy Roads, but it's not Crossy Roads.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That is dirty as. I hope... I heard they got straight on for that.
Yeah, I did read that the developers were making a complaint. What do you call that when you have like a digital rights fucking complaint? I don't know, fucking lawyering and shit. Anyway, they took it down obviously because it's not on the Microsoft Store anymore. So good on them. But
it's like
it's not even trying to look different. It's the same like perspective, the art style is the exact same, the colors are slightly different.
That's about it. It is almost the same game.
Yeah. Pretty bad. But and also did you hear that they're getting rid of Internet Explorer from the Windows 10?
Almost. Yeah. It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time because I don't think anyone uses it.
Put that sick dog to sleep.
Yeah, take her out the back and shoot her. But talking back about games, I also played Abe's Odyssey, New and Tasty.
Ooh, so this is the remake of the original, I'm guessing?
Yeah, this is the remake. This, man, tell you what, if you've got a PlayStation 4 this month and you don't have, what's it called, PlayStation Plus, get that shit, because Abe's Odyssey, New and Tasty, Olly Olly 2, Valiant Hearts, and one other game are free this month. And like those four games by themselves, I'm pretty sure is worth the price of admission, and you're getting them for free. So you should fucking do that.
Get on it.
Yeah, but Abe's Odyssey, got into that. It plays exactly like the old one, but looks new. And the voiceover is not the same. It almost sounds Australian, which is weird. Like Abe is like, g'day, fucking go over there, mate. And you know, it's weird.
Boy, fucking get a leg into it.
So yeah, I thought that was a bit weird, but I haven't played much. I've saved like, I don't know, four dudes or something like that. So just had a quick bat at it when I downloaded it. Did you play Abe's Odyssey back when it was new, original?
I did. Yeah, it was one of the first one at least I had on DOS.
Was it a DOS game?
Yeah, it ran from DOS.
Oh yeah, of course it would have been. Yeah, that makes sense.
CD-ROM, but it was still back in the DOS days. As far as it ran from DOS for me, because my computer was a DOS computer at the time, so.
You didn't even have Windows.
Maybe I did.
It would have been like one of those MS-DOS fucking dealios, you know, how it pops
up. Actually, no, you're right. I think it just booted from DOS within Windows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You had to like click the little thing and then you'd have like, yeah, man, fuck that shit.
Yeah, yeah. So same for like games like
Duke Nukem. Yeah, that was the same. Doom, all that. Yeah, so that was a blast from the past. I never played it heaps back in the day. My friend Alex, who you know, Brody, really loves Abe's Odyssey, so I'm sure he's going to want to come around and play it because he can't afford a PlayStation 4 at the moment.
I've never finished it. It's a really hard game.
Yeah, and they've added more dudes to find and save and shit in the new one.
Damn.
Yeah, so there's no fucking way I'm going to get all 299 of those suckers. They're probably going to die horrible deaths.
Yeah, well, you know what? They're pretty dumb. They haven't got the best AI, so they kind of deserve it.
Yep, I agree. Man, I also played a game called Dying Light. Do you know this game?
I would be lying if I said yes.
Okay, so do you remember a game called Dead Island that came out about 2 or 3 years ago?
I do.
Okay, so basically it's Dead Island. It's got like, I think it was possibly the same developers. It's not set on an island, it's set in a city. It's set in like a, it looks like a Middle Eastern city almost. It's got sort of like a Dubai feel to it almost, but a little bit more vegetated. It's a zombie game. It's got a day-night cycle. During the day, the zombies aren't quite as dangerous. At night, you're totally fucked. Like, my God, it's frightening. But that game, playing by yourself, especially if you're me, I wasn't totally into it because I'm a big woman's blouse and I get scared at video games. But playing with a friend, that game is fucking awesome. So much fun. Playing it with Scott at the moment. Just going around bashing zombies. Like, every now and then you'll come across just one random zombie that's got, like, lots of hit points. So the both of you just fucking laying into it on the ground. It's just hilarious. I don't know, like, you're kicking it. And sometimes you're, like, on a raised bit so you can kick it off a roof or something. And you just, it's hilarious. I love it. So, yeah, and it's cool how it's all, like, free-running and shit like that. So you're just running around. It's in first person, but the free-running works, like, really well. Man, I recommend it to anyone that can play it with a mate, if you don't mind playing it by yourself. Yeah.
I don't play myself.
You don't mind playing with yourself? No, I know that. I know that.
I agree with that.
Yeah. It actually reminds me of Far Cry a lot. Like, it's got a lot of the same sort of gameplay loops in some ways, you know. Yeah, except the difference between it and Far Cry is that the co-op actually works.
While we've been talking, I have a contact request from Ticklish Ariel.
Ticklish Ariel from from the Little Mermaid.
Triple X Ticklish Ariel 730 is their full contact name. So
I have a contact request from Delilah Adda. Not quite as sexy a name, but maybe some sort of Victorian style lady. Maybe she's related to Blackadder.
Or the Black Delilah, in which case she's going to be horribly murdered by someone over Skype.
Possibly me. Maybe I'm going to murder her over Skype. Is that threatening? I don't know.
Who knows?
I'm kidding.
I was actually, funny enough, reading the Black Delilah Wikipedia page just yesterday.
Yes.
And my little Wikipedia fact for the day is when... Do you know the story of the Black Delilah?
Like, no, I don't know it.
It was in the 1940s in LA, and this like...
Oh, wait, yes. This is what LA Noir is based on.
Oh, I think it probably incorporated that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, 1940s, aspiring actress is horribly mutilated and found in a sort of a field with, like, kind of cut in half, all her blood drained, and, like, a smile cut into her face kind of thing. Horrible, gruesome, there's pictures, you can Google it.
I don't want to.
But, yeah, I was reading the Wikipedia page about it for whatever reason. And the part that actually horrified me wasn't the mutilation, which I'm, it's horrifying, but I'm somewhat like,
desensitized,
nulled by that because of the internet. The thing that horrified me was the LA Inquiry, I think it was called, some newspaper from LA. Their reporters got straight onto the scoop of her murder and called her mother, who hadn't yet been told of her murder, and said she'd won a beauty contest and used that to kind of get as much information about her as possible, only when they have their like full scoop on everything about her, or did they reveal to her mother that she'd been murdered.
Holy Jesus, mother of Christ, that is awful.
Yeah, it's a terrible story.
My God. Fucking hell, journalists. They've always been kind of shit, haven't they?
So did LA Noir incorporate the Black Delilah, did it?
I think one of the first murders that you try to solve is based on the Black Delilah. Like the very first one, you find a girl in the park.
Oh, that's right. You do too.
Yeah. And then you pick up some stuff and you rotate it in your hand until the music goes... And then you know that you...
Actually, thinking of it, that's probably what the True Detective murder was based off as well, if you've watched that show. So.
Yeah, isn't that a bit more? But was the Black Delilah killer motivated by weird religious shit?
Well, they never found who did it.
So oh, did they not? Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they don't know. But yeah, anyway, there we go. Horrible, morbid stuff. But you know, that's real life. Deal with it, you babies.
Yeah. One more thing in the games department. I had a bit of a play around with Unreal Engine after our conversation 2 weeks ago on the last show. That shit's awesome, and I'm gonna try and make something, and then we can talk about it on the show. It's gonna be real dumb.
I'll do a review of your game.
Yeah, you're gonna probably think it's really fucking crappy, but if anyone's out there that has any sort of inkling to just make something like a video game wise, that SDK is totally. Like easy to get into. It's quite deep, obviously, and the more complex things you want to do, the more you need to know about coding and shit. But just like jumping in, I was totally easy to get around and put things in the world and, you know, adjust things, adjust the sizes of like the player character, where the camera was, how high they could jump, the gravity, the lighting, and all that sort of shit. So yeah, man, it's really cool. Especially if you ever did any Unreal Tournament mapping back in the day, you'd totally understand sort of how things work. But yes.
Well, I eagerly await to see what you come up with.
You should download it and give it a crack, because you never know, man. You might be like a closet coder.
You never know.
Well, that is all the games that we've played, but now I have something else for you.
What is this? What is it? What? Stop it.
So I was listening to a podcast today, and they were talking about Final Fantasy games and their stupid names, and I thought, hey, this could be a trivia segment question. So the trivia question that I pose to you today, Brody, as I do every week that we have a show.
Exactly about Final Fantasy. I mean, just play the fart noise now.
The question is not Final Fantasy based. The question is, which of the following is not actually the name of a video game? Is it A, Infinite Undiscovery? B, Evolution of a Sacred Device? C, Irritating Stick? Or D, Teacups of Doom?
Teacups of Doom, I reckon, is the real one. Like, that just sounds dumb, but like something someone would have come up with.
Yeah.
Irritating stick sounds like something you would come up with, but that's maybe why you picked it as an answer. So
it could be. It could be. It could be a red herring.
The other two are kind of boring. Infinite Undiscovery sounds like every B-grade game ever, and Evolution of a Secret Device. I don't know.
I've made this kind of harder than I thought I'd made it, because I obviously know the answer, but... the one that I've actually put in is quite, yeah. See, it's going to throw you either way. You'll never figure out which one I've actually put in, because you've never heard of any of these games.
Do you actually know the other three games?
I'd heard of one of them.
Okay. Look, just because it's the most unassuming, I'm going to go with Evolution of a Sacred Device.
Evolution of a Sacred Device, is that your final answer?
Sure, why not?
Judges, please. No, Evolution of a Sacred Device is not the correct answer. The correct answer is not Irritating Stick. It is not Infinite Undiscovery. The correct answer is Teacups of Doom. I actually had to look up to see if that wasn't a video game name, because there's so many fucking dumb video game names. But yeah, Teacups of Doom, a game that I made up. So maybe that'll be my first Unreal Engine game, will be Teacups of Doom.
See, like, because of the onset of, like, gaming apps, any of these could have been a game. There's so many stupid clone... useless, valueless games now. Like, apps have devalued games in general. So.
But I will say this, all of these games were console games.
Well, that doesn't...
Like physical copy console games. All of these games came out on like PlayStation 1. Infinite Undiscovery, I think, was a PS3 game. That was the only one that I'd heard of. Evolution of a Sacred Device might have been a game... DS game, I think.
What the fuck is Irritating Stick?
It's a PlayStation 1 game. Hold on. I couldn't... when I read that, I was like, holy shit, this is too good. Irritating Stick game. Oh, God. Irritating Stick. Also known as Dengeki Irira Bow Returns. Holy fuck. I think this game is Japanese, just quietly.
Hardly fair.
I'm just trying to find out what the fucking actual game is. This is just a block of text. I can't read this. There is some YouTube footage. So let's have a look at what the YouTube footage is, and we might be able to discern what Irritating Stick is a game about. If we don't get slapped with a big old silly ad. Someone's using a PlayStation emulator to play it. God. God, the frame rate's awesome. This emulator's not doing a very good job. It's running at about like one frame a second.
What's going on?
Okay, so I don't know what this game's about. I think you have to guide a like round thing through some course without it hitting the edges, and if it does, it fucking you lose.
Oh, that was a great description. So, to all our listeners playing at home, I am, in fact, not wearing pants. Let me distract from that horrible, horrible gaming description by letting you know that fact.
Moving on. We have some news today. You actually pulled all the news today. What a hard-working kind of guy. So, can you tell me about Steam... Valve not being psyched that they got an F in customer service.
Well, apparently, according to some sort of that gave notifications and evaluations on services called the BBB. Sorry, I'm just reading the article as we're doing this.
What does BBB stand for? Big Black Beavers?
Yeah. Definitely that. Okay. It's the Better Business Bureau. Possibly one of the most generic sounding names ever.
Very American sounding.
Yeah. So, yeah, apparently major, like other major gaming companies, mostly got A's, where Valve got an F. for poor customer service.
Did they speak to any other gaming companies? Like, I don't know. I'd love to know what Ubisoft got last year.
Well, I don't have that information at hand.
I can't. But there's nothing in the article.
Well, there's links. There's lots of links. Oh, here we go. I went straight to Ubisoft. Ubisoft got an A+.
Fuck off. No one could. No one would have been happy with Ubisoft last year.
Ubisoft had a total of 22 advertising sales issues, 2 billing collection issues, 10 delivery issues, 1 guarantee/warranty issue, and problems with products or service, 104. Total closed complaints, 139. They had 0 customer reviews. I mean, I don't know how they've really assessed this. This is making me think that it's not the best, most comprehensive take on different gaming companies, but
yeah, I'm just looking at the EA one. It doesn't, this doesn't float, man. I don't reckon so.
Well, anyway, yeah, so apparently it's put a bit of a boot up Valve's ass to get their customer service in gear, which is good because Valve are largely known for having horrible, horrible customer service when something goes wrong or you're locked out of your account or anything. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Can't be a bad thing to give Gabe a little bit of a humble pie that he'll so readily eat. Anyway.
Yes, tell me about the slip of all major VR devices to 2016, essentially.
Well, apparently the future is almost here, but it's been pushed back another year. So the future isn't here quite. We still need a little bit more time for that future to come.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the HTC... Vive?
No one knows how to pronounce it. Like, every podcast I listen to that talk about this device, they're like, I don't know how the fuck do you pronounce this. Vive, Vive, Vove, Vum.
Vum. yeah, so that and the Oculus Rift.
And the Morpheus.
Have all been pushed back to 2016, when the future will be here, and I assume flying cars will be the delivery vehicle for these.
Well, they could be those little flying propeller things. What are they called with the 4 blades that Amazon's going to start using to ship things?
Drones.
Drones, yeah.
Yeah, true. I mean, drones are already a thing. Yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen here? But yeah, that's all been pushed back a little bit. So you're going to have to hold your horses for a little bit longer before you can ride a virtual one.
That's real disappointing because I am so jonesing for some VR shit in my life. Would you get any of these on release, do you think?
Look, the only one I'd probably consider is the HTC or the Oculus, I guess.
Yeah. Obviously, the Morpheus is out of the question unless you get a PS4.
Totally, yes. Yeah. So I don't know. And I probably wouldn't get the PS4 one because then you could only play proprietary software and
exactly.
games and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So yeah, probably I'd probably go with the HTC one because you know, everything I do on a computer is related to Valve in some way, so that'd be kind of cool.
Yep.
I consider it. If I had a bit of extra cash floating about, you know, it seems a little bit more exciting to me than getting another console, so I could maybe shell out a few hundred for one.
Yeah, if the price point is around 350 odd, I would be pretty happy to pay that for any of those two devices.
Well, that's it. I mean, look, it's like buying a console, so
yeah,
you know, it's a different experience. I don't know how often I'd use it, but definitely worth it just to say that I am an ultra geek now, and this is my life.
Yeah, and just to have people over and be like, put your face inside of this and tell me what you think.
That sounds really sleazy. I got called a cool geek today by a girl at my new job.
A cool geek? So, hey.
Yeah. Also a cute geek. Ooh. So
same girl, different girl? Was that a guy?
Same girl. Really? Same girl.
Well, you should follow up on that.
Maybe I'll invite her around for a little bit of VRing.
Yeah, tell her to put her face into your headset. I don't know. I hope she never listens to this. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, well, even if she does, maybe that's what she's into. Awkward geek talk.
Oh, God. Save us all. Tell me about Hotline Miami 2. in Australia?
Yeah, so because Australia really didn't change anything when we got an R rating, they just upgraded the name to something that makes it seem even sillier that consenting adults aren't allowed to play games that they want to play.
Yep.
Hotline Miami has been banned in Australia for an implied rape scene.
Implied. Now, this is the operative word, because before we'd spoke about this before the podcast, I wasn't actually aware that aware of what the scene was, because my initial impression was that there was a rape scene, so we're banning it. And I was like, well, I guess that's kind of makes sense. But can you explain what the scene actually is?
I haven't played the game. I've only read an article that had the censorship board's like report on the offending scene. The way they described it is the main character bursts into a room, bloodily kills four guys. Or maybe it's not the main character. Maybe it's the quote unquote rapist. And then there's one girl remaining. He then has apparently his pants around his ankles and approaches her, and then like this is all like above the head, like pixelated, like retro gaming look, and gets on top of her and starts thrusting. The thing is, this scene is later revealed to be taking part on a movie set, so the whole thing in the game's story is not happening either. It's meant to be like a meta action scene within a game that is a movie scene. So it's not a real rape scene, it's an implied rape scene.
Yep.
But not even implied, because there, you know, if we're looking at it within the logic of the world, there was no penetration, so how could it be rape?
And it's fucking a video game, and you didn't have the control of the character, so it's no different than a film.
Exactly, and not to mention that this game has, like, as I said, like 1990s era, like, pixelated graphics. It's not at all
graphic.
There's no offending, like horrible, over the top. Like, we're not talking about Irreversible here. You know, there's no extended rape scene or anything like that. It's just so silly. But anyway, apparently an Australian Redditor got in touch with one of the, I think he's a Swedish developer of the game, who said, if it ends up not being released in Australia, just pirate it after release. No need to send us money. Just enjoy the game. So
good on them. Fuck the rating board. They've got their head up their conservative asses as per usual.
And I hope this just gives them lots of press and lots of people actually do buy the game in countries where they're allowed to.
Yeah, so if you haven't played the first one, definitely get out there and buy it. It's a fantastic game. Not without its faults, but man, it's worth it just to sit there and listen to the soundtrack alone. So get into it. That is my advice to you.
I have one final little bit of news. I know we're running over time, and I will just quickly mention it.
That's fine.
Nintendo have officially announced they're going to develop smartphone games with Denna using Nintendo IP.
So they haven't said which IP, though?
No, just that they're finally going to use their official IP to make smartphone games using Denna, which apparently is well known as a system that makes like freemium games.
Yeah.
So
that's been the rumor for the longest time that was going to happen, and Nintendo was just outright saying no. But yeah, it's interesting that it's finally gone that way. I'll be interested to see what the game is and sort of what it does to the brand.
I saw a pretty funny mock-up of a Mario game the other day that had like the question mark blocks replaced with yellow blocks with a shopping cart on them. So,
yeah. I've an intrinsic fear that is actually what's going to happen, because they have done some pretty shit like that in some other games that have come out in the past on Nintendo platforms.
So hopefully Nintendo withhold from doing any shitty shit.
Shitty shit sucks. Now, do you want to, because we're running close to an hour, do you want to do the steamy reviews or the future nostalgia?
I think we should do the shitty reviews, because I think we had some good ones today.
Okay, let's have a look.
Steamy reviews.
Uh, So this week's Steamer reviews was suggested by Brody. The game is Shadow of the Colossus. We pulled two from our font of Steamy reviews known as Metacritic.
I really want to play this game again. It's such a good game.
Is it remastered for PS4? Because I've never played it, so I'd like to.
I don't know, but if they haven't remastered, they sure as shit should, because yeah. It is a brilliant, atmospheric, beautiful art piece of a game.
I think I'm gonna have to check it out. Yeah, because I don't have a PS3, obviously. There was a release for PS3, but yeah, I'd like to see it on PS4, hopefully, at some stage. Yeah, but do you want to read the first one there?
Why not? Let me just navigate back to the document. So, in today's Steamy review, we hear from Neck Punch for You. Oh, man, this guy's a winner already.
Yeah.
Neck Punch for You says, man, don't waste your money. The controls are a disaster, which ruins everything about these two games. Two games? I don't
know, two. Oh, yeah, sorry. It came in a pack with Ico.
Okay. I played the original Ico and Shadows of the Colossus on the PS2, and the controls were much tighter than this disaster. That could be a legit thing. I don't know. What's he talking about here?
He's saying that the controls have changed from between the PS2 and the PS3. Everything I looked up said this is not true. He's probably just got nostalgia eyes going on, I would say, more than anything.
Or he's been punched in the neck one too many times. Yeah. But
yeah. Well, I mainly grabbed it because I loved his name.
Yeah, no, that's good enough. I think that warrants a Steamy review right there.
Yep, and the final one, we just grabbed two this week. The next one was by a gentleman called Fuck the Habs.
Another winner.
What are Habs? Is that like habits?
Maybe it's like the Habs and Habs Not.
Oh my god. Yeah, good call. He gave Shadow of the Colossus 0. He says, or she says, this game is a big piece of crap. 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 That's all he had to say.
Maybe crap is an acronym for like creatively rendered artistic
piece.
Piece, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it really is.
It really is.
It's a beautiful game.
And obviously that was a point that he tried to drive home as well.
I'd say so, yeah. This is like something that he really felt that people needed to know. And maybe the zero, because it's quite an atmospheric and kind of eerily moody game. Maybe the zero he gave is actually a statement about the existential nature of life, where, you know, because I'm not going to spoil the ending of the game, but it really makes you question whether any journey is truly worth it or not. So maybe that is what Fuck the Habs is trying to say here with this this piece of prose that he's written in regards to the game. So who knows?
I think you've really peeled away a few layers of the onion here on this on Fuck the Habs.
I just think, you know, he's got a point there. He just, you know, it's all about interpretation of the review. So yeah,
I agree. If you are listening and agree, and you would like to tweet at us and find out if Brody is wearing pants or not, you can at DTB Podcast. You can also email us for photos of Brody's penis, or not penis, penis shrouded in pant, at defeatthebosspodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe and rate on iTunes. And even better than that, you know what you can do? You can go to your place of business and say, hey, there's this cute geek gaming boy man. Here's this podcast with this other guy who is nondescript. You should listen to it. Maybe subscribe. Here it is. Grab their phone off them. Download the podcasting app, because not many people listen to podcasts on their phone for some reason. Download it and subscribe for them. Do the work for them. They'll thank you, and then they can pay it forward to someone else.
Yeah, well, you know, that could work. That's very forceful marketing, but I'm not going to say no. Do it.
Do that. Hey, this has been a really great show. I'd like to find the outro, though. There it is. It's been a pleasure being back in the country with my old friend, Brody.
Yeah, the banter was good. The gaming was good.
This was a really good show. Solid show. 21. We can drink now in states of America.
That is fantastic. I can truly say, this podcast is a big piece of crap. And this podcast is a big piece of crap.
Crap.